Hello, friends and fellow adventurers. Welcome to the Min-Maxed Podcast. We want to thank you for joining us, and you do so as we continue Bloodlords. As always, we'd like to invite you to come join our Discord, where you can hang out with us and other listeners of the show. And if you'd like to throw a little financial support our way, you can check out our Patreon. And a shout out to all of those at our Lich level and above. Rock Jedi, Wolf, Blood in a Slump, Thunder Mammoth, The Trevor Project, Das Chris, Fizzgig, AC Goldner, Eric R. Oh, just gonna skip right past you there. Indie Link, Tawdry Monster, Mercutio, Angel Shadow Art, Cyrendon, The Necromancer Forever, Doc Holliday, Corey, Robert T. Jason K, Dicky Lopez, Bobson Dugnut, Ricky Ropebridge, Alex K, Doma Alaka, Frank L, Just Mike Works, Ross D, Argoon's Long Lost Elbow, Victor, Zach S, Jimmy H, Mr. Turtle, Sleeve, Darren, Caleb W, Pickle, Mr. Grimm, Firedown, M54 Ewas, Jameson S, Eric R, plus 2 Vorpal Salmon of Whack. I'm Not a Robot, George F, Leo Hart, Hard, Witch Hunter, Jeremy D, Matthew M, Scott E, Progeny of Cthulhuin, Liz Giggles, Callistria Specialty, Brandon K, Gringus Maximus, Andrew G, Ebb and Flames, Booming Thunder, Henry, A School of Fish, Ice and Jam, and Chris W. Thank you all for your support. And now a recap of Session 45. We've discovered a new actor in the poison plot, someone known as the Benefactor. Nethnema thought this was Bloodlord Zithni, so we go and see him. Arius cashes in his promised reward of info on any individual in Eled. We ask Zithni if he is the Benefactor. He laughs it off and says he couldn't care less about such things. We also go see the priest Vilnithna and put the fear of Urgathoa into him for going behind our backs. We then make the long journey back home to the Theater of Sin. Both Lucan's cart and the Pat Ged family made it back mostly safely. We have lots of mail and packages to go over. We throw a party for the powerful people of the area. It goes well and we chill for several weeks. After a while, however, we receive a visitor. It is Seldeg Bedless, a serious badass and spymaster to Geb. He has a missive from the Ghost King himself. Iron Tavia has risen and is back at it. We're going after her and Seldeg is coming with us.
We're leaving at dawn? Why the fuck are we leaving at dawn?
You're riding at dawn, because that's what Seldeg Bedless wants to do.
At dawn we ride.
Tell me what the party does in preparation before riding out on the skeletal mounts that have been provided by Seldeg Bedless.
Well, yeah, I will be in my motherfucking coffin.
Yeah, because you are going to use my horse, because I'm going to be on Perdition.
Right. Yeah, I'll have two of these skeletal mounts pulling, or just your skeletal mount. Oh, well, yeah, and mine, pulling my wagon.
Do you know where you're going?
Wherever your cell dig takes us.
I suppose that's technically true.
Arius has never been on a horse before. This is going to be very bumpy.
It's skeletal. You're skeletal. It's all good.
Just bones clattering. Just completely rigid on the horse. Like.
Just collapse and we'll just carry you around.
Can you guys both collapse and then you reform into one creature?
What is this monstrosity?
You're just a centaur now?
I hate...
Harius. Horius?
Centaurius.
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 Okay, that's pretty good.
That was good.
Is that like a star?
Now I feel like I need to get a mount and find some way to meld with them. Or like Centaurius.
Summoner dedication, man.
Yeah, you could. You absolutely
actually
could do
not
that.
A bad dip either.
But yeah, other than all my outfits, I really don't think there's anything I need to bring. I got my staff in there with me, and I've got my wand.
Don't need to bring anything. Just your outfits.
I mean, he's a caster. That's about all you need.
Yep. Again, I continue to use my wand to cast Summoner's Precaution every morning.
As you all stand outside the Theater of Sin, each mounting your respective skeletal mounts provided by Spymaster Bedless, as I'm assuming Sundrinker is hooking the cart up to the two skeletal mounts that you have now because of Perdition.
Yes.
Seldeg looks and at you as you're getting into your coffin just before dawn, and he will look at you and say,
I knew my horses, and I'm not sure they can keep up with me dragging your cart.
Well, I am a vampire, and I can't be in the sun, so this complexion has to remain pure and porcelain.
Our path takes us through the Axon Wood. How do you plan to deal with the Axon Wood with your cart?
Are you telling me there are places where the cart won't be able to go?
Through a forest. You tell me, our first destination is that cottage that you've informed me about.
Well, the horses probably won't be able to go through all of it either.
Much easier than the cart. I was to understand that you had abilities.
Well, of course I have abilities, but the coffin is more comfortable. And I like to sleep.
Our mission does not deal in comforts, vampire.
You don't deal in comforts, darling. See, the thing is, you can get things done and still be comfortable.
If the horse could snort, it would be, but it begins violently pawing the ground, sensing Selvig's mood.
I understand your point, however. This is not the time, nor the place.
Well, Sundrinker certainly can't ride one of these fucking horses.
How fast is Sundrinker?
25? Same speed as me. So I can't keep up with the horses either.
Yeah, horses are, like, tradition, I think, is 35.
I didn't understand that your Sundrinker was so large.
Yes, that's a recent development. Fascinating, isn't it?
How recent?
Over the last few weeks. Just sprouted up.
You can see his jaw clenching, taking a mental note, almost as if that's not the information that he had, and he's not happy about it.
I suppose it's a spy master, anytime he doesn't have the accurate information.
Really fucking not happy about it. He's going to be having a hard conversation with his informants when he gets back to Great Urge after this mission.
David, stop pissing off the high-level Grave Knight. It's going to literally one-shot us all. Stop it.
Yeah, the super high-level guy.
I don't know what the answer is. I mean, the answer is either we bring the wagon or we travel at 25. That's all I got. Spy Master Bedless, either we bring the wagon or we're going to have to travel a little bit slower than the horses would go. Sundrick is very powerful, but not exactly the most mobile. They are a bush.
Fine. Bring the wagon to the edge of the wood, then we'll navigate it with you inside of your...
And he looks up. I suppose not up while he's mounted. He looks across at Sundrinker.
With your Sundrinker.
So cranky.
And then he turns to face the horizon where the sun is just about to crest, almost as though he's waiting for that crest.
Sundrinker crawls into the wagon too, and I imagine, like, kind of molds around it so that the wagon looks like it just has thorny vines with roses growing all over it.
Nice.
The thing is, I can't imagine Sundrinker weighs that much. Like, they're big, but, like, still just a bush. Or a tree. I guess trees are pretty heavy.
Dense.
Very dense.
How strong Sundrinker is? I can imagine Sundrinker's probably pretty dense.
Pretty dense, just like me.
Wait, how long does it take to summon Sundrinker if they die?
3 actions.
Why don't we just fucking kill Sundrinker?
I can unsummon them. Yeah, they don't have to be there.
I was
just
saying, well, we don't need to kill him.
No, you can unsummon
him. No, don't do this unsummoning bullshit. Let's kill Sundrinker.
No, because that kills me.
It does.
Doesn't matter.
Let's kill Sundrinker. This hurts. Ow!
Don't you have a way around that? You have a way around that. You're fine.
Yeah, he's got a way around of not dying, yes.
Yeah, I'm not dying. sure, I guess shit. I could unsummon Sundrinker while we... No, I like Sundrinker wrapped around the wagon. I think that's cool.
Can you sit in Sundrinker's shade? Can he, like, create, like, a vessel around you or something?
Turns into a parasol.
I mean, he still would only be able to move at 25, but...
Creates the awning, or like a palanquin, almost. A Sundrinker palanquin.
That's a word I don't know.
Yeah, what the fuck's a palanquin? How do you spell
palanquin.
That?
Palanquin. P-A-L-E-N-Q-U-I-N, I think.
Close.
All right.
Oh, yes. Yeah, well, that is it. Palanquin.
I had no idea that's what those were called.
Oh. One of those little carry boxes.
Yeah.
Palanquin. All shaded and draped with, fabrics, and that's going to be a common sight. Even something you likely have seen in Eled, nobles being taken around on palanquins with just mindless zombie carriers.
Brilliant.
It still doesn't fix our speed issue, though. So.
Yeah, it still doesn't fix the speed issue.
No. He just has to live with it. Take note, maybe. Sense motive. I want a perception as a sense motive from anybody.
I don't care.
There's a thing that he's doing, and I want to know if anybody's picking up on it.
How about a 28?
Getting annoyed?
Yeah, getting annoyed.
Yeah. Okay, maybe I care a little bit. I'll roll.
Nice.
30!
Aris is the only one who picks up on this. And this actually makes sense based on what Ted's been saying. This Grave Knight could breathe wrong on you and destroy you by accident. And you know this intrinsically. But there's something about you that he's not acting on his frustrations about. An easy solution to this problem would be just to fucking leave Lucan behind or destroy him. But he's not doing that.
Aris wants to, like, spar with this guy. He's just a battle-hungry idiot. He knows he'd get shit on, but he's just like, I'm gonna fight.
How bad would I get shit on?
How long would I last? One round?
How many rounds
two?
Would it take?
Let's see if I can last two rounds.
I was going to say, I think, Ted, you know how long you would last, and it's not
Yeah,
long.
I looked at the stat block. I was an idiot. It's terrible. I will never want to
fight why you
this
did
guy.
That.
I just Googled his name. And I was looking for, like, a... Because we were looking for pictures of him. And I Googled
right.
his name, and I pulled up the fucking Nethys result, and it's just his full fucking stat block. And I'm like, oh.
Wham.
Oh.
Yeah, it's not like Easy Tools where it's like, warning, this is spoilers. Yeah,
what is he, like, level 22?
No, he's not only level, like, high. 17, I think.
Oh, okay.
But it's way higher than us.
Which makes me wonder if we're going to end up fighting him in, like, book 5 or 6. But
right.
By then, hopefully, we actually fight. But I imagine he's just an NPC.
This guy's the benefactor.
Yeah, they definitely give stat blocks for characters you never...
Just in case you decide to piss off the fucking level 17 guy.
I kind of think that's why he's there. The stat block, at least.
Yeah. It's like, hey, do you want a TPK because your players are murder hobos and assholes?
We got you.
Here you go.
Just toss it up. That's, you know.
We got you,
here
fam.
You go. Here's the game over.
Have fun, GM. You have a stat block to run off of. Murder them all.
Yeah, your murder hobos aren't doing so hot.
Yeah. Reset button.
Yeah.
The spy master will go find another fucking group of
or you know, to go. Kill two of them just to show them their place.
Yeah.
Well, as everybody is mounting up in the various fashions, Lucan gets into the wagon that is, you know, wrapped with Sundrinker's vines. Arius is sitting stiffly atop the back. Shara looks completely at home on Perdition.
Yeah, Shara loves it when we are on these, like, long rides.
What about Kix?
He wants to be back in... And the freaking greater.
Just want to stay.
We've been gone for so long.
Can I sit this one out, guys?
I'll take care of the mansion.
I'll send our goon.
Let's put some class levels on our goon. Let's see how that goes. The sun crests the horizon, and as it does, and light bathes the party, which is a rare thing for the party. Seldig,
we're off,
and takes off, and you begin traveling.
Shara definitely finds it odd that, like, for whatever reason, he had to wait till, like, that moment. We're all standing here 30 minutes early. Why couldn't we just fucking leave?
Because there's a plan. He wants to stick to the plan. He's one of those kinds.
One of those guys. When I say 7:30, I walk in the door at 7:30. Even if I have to sit in my car for 20 minutes.
Yeah, right.
As you're riding along, something that you've gotten used to through your overland travel and the previous book, you know, traveling to Pekged and Eled, is that on the Geb countryside, there are roaming packs of undead that don't have any affiliation or tie. They're just as close to you can as you can come to feral wild animals, but still be humanoid undead. For example, packs of ghouls are very common. Bandits also are a thing. And each time as you've traveled, you've needed to fight them off. It's not been worth bringing up. On your way to Pekged, you were all level, you know, 5 or 6. Anything that you'd be fighting would be level 1 or 2. You just wipe through them. It's not even worth mention. In this case, however, any time during your travel that familiar howl from a ghoul, a pack of ghouls that flanks the party as they're about to attack, this time the howl comes and a singular ghoul will begin to get close. They'll run closer. They'll get within maybe 100 feet, and then you see them skid as they put full brakes on to stop after seeing Seldeg. And most of the time, they just turn and run.
I would too.
Seldeg does not have the ability to, nor the desire, to suppress his aura. It's something that you've all noticed.
What's his aura do?
It's not something that you've had to interact with yet. His aura is actually specifically against positive spells or abilities.
Well, I ain't got any of those.
So the aura is not directly affecting them, but that's the... Let's just take that more of a Seldeg is obvious badass, nothing wants to confront him situation.
Fair.
Just kind of drive that point home, I suppose. Seldeg doesn't engage with conversation with you, so unless you have anything to say to him, he is silent the whole ride.
Is it just us and him, or is there other, like, miscellaneous people in the group?
He doesn't have retainers or anything. It is him, and he brought the skeletal mounts for each of the four of you, and that is it. So, you reach the edge of the Axon Wood. Takes you just under a day of travel to get there.
Okay, oh. So basically one full sunlight day.
Just under a sunlight day of travel, correct. As you get to the edge of the Axon Wood, Seldeg slows to a trot for the first time since starting, and then to a walk, indicating for the rest of the party to slow.
We'll camp here for the night while we figure out the wagon situation.
Would it not be easier to travel during the evening instead?
How frequently do you ride skeletal mounts through the night in a forest?
I mean, they're just skeletal mounts.
Until they trip on an errant route and send you flying.
Are you telling me these skeletal mounts don't have dark vision?
They do have dark vision.
The skeletal mounts do?
Yeah.
I thought they had low light vision. Never mind,
maybe
it doesn't fucking
just
matter.
Mine.
Seldeg would know that. Tyler didn't.
Yeah, I climb out of my coffin. Are you telling me you don't have dark vision, Seldeg?
No, I didn't say that. Are you telling me that all of you do?
Yeah, all of us.
I cast it on you, Kix. I can cast it on you, no problem.
Yeah, all of us.
And it lasts 24 hours.
That's convenient.
Sure, absolutely does not have it.
Who doesn't have dark vision?
I don't think I do either.
Arius.
All three of you don't?
I think I have low light.
Yeah. Fuckers. It's just
a skeleton horse does, but a skeleton doesn't? Aren't they like the same thing?
Correct. Skeletons have low lights.
Did none of you take the fucking thing that gives you the advanced undead traits?
What are those?
Well, it's one of
Kix
like
and
all
I aren't technically undead.
That's true. It'd only be Oh, yeah, the skeleton works different.
The skeleton,
works different.
I don't think the skeleton gets that kind of
it's
stuff.
It's either a heritage or you'd take a feat, I think, yeah.
Well, all the heritages have a feat that gives you undead, like the advanced undead benefits at level 6. Well, I can only cast it twice. I'm sorry, bros. So two of you can get dark vision.
scoot over. I'll get in that coffin.
We don't need the quick.
We don't need you. You pile of bones.
He's a lesser form of being. Just give it to the people that matter.
You have low light vision, though, Kix.
I don't think Kix has anything.
He's human. I'm just a psychic,
as a tiefling,
dude.
You would have low light vision. At least.
He's a tiefling. That's true.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, I have low
light. Well, you can have my fucking lantern, unless do you cast light.
I mean, I can. Yeah,
I have light on my sword.
I don't want your magical light sources through this forest at night.
Well, that settles that.
Christ.
But yeah, Shara does not have low light or dark vision.
You don't have low light or dark vision? God damn it. No. All right, Shara. So at least Shara's getting a dark vision.
What the hell do I need vision for? I got a horse.
Yeah, the horse can ride. Horse leads the way. I mean, come on, haven't you heard the song? Skeletal horse knows the way to carry the coffin.
So we'll go with my original plan.
What was that?
I will not lie. It does not displease me to find out that my sources were incorrect twice.
Who are your sources? They are not good. Like,
he ignores the question. He knows that you don't all have dark vision, I guess, was the point. And he was right.
Yeah, his sources were correct about that.
His sources were correct.
Okay, so how are we handling this? Shara, you're going to need something, right?
Well, no, we're just traveling during the day. We're camping and then traveling during the day.
Traveling during the day. That's what Sudleg wants.
Okay. So I'm literally... Okay. Well, I'll take watch because I'm awake now.
Perfect. We don't need a watch order.
After Lucan just slept the entire ride.
Yeah, you don't even need watch order. Like, I'm just going to be awake.
We got a vampire.
So, one thing Selig does want to make clear, the cart can't come into the forest, into the woods.
Yeah, fine.
However you manage from there, I mean, the horses aren't going to be able to go...
The horses aren't going to be able to go full speed anyway.
Yeah, and neither... Yeah, just like... Yeah. So it's not as big of a deal through the woods, but you can't bring the cart.
Put all my clothes into the bag of holding. Don't like putting them in the bag of holding. You can't have them hanging up. They get a little bit more wrinkled in the bag of holding. It's very annoying.
I'll have to get you an armoire of holding.
Yeah. Or an armoire that you can put into the bag of holding.
Just get those sleeves of holding.
Yeah. Cool. Cool. This guy's cool.
I do sometimes forget, though, that Cher has no sense.
No low-light vision at all.
So, with Lucan up all night on watch, nobody needs to, create a watch. So, Lucan, just you, man. I don't know if you need to do anything or want to do anything, but you have the opportunity to have, free reign to do whatever you want for the next 13 hours.
I would say I probably brought some books to read in my bag of holding that Sundricker carries.
Totally a great thing to do while you're on watch. Let's read a book.
Oh, yeah. No, absolutely. Yeah, I know. Like, Luke doesn't give a shit. Sundricker's on watch.
That's the real answer.
Lucan's chilling.
So the next morning, pre-dawn, Seldig rises, and he doesn't have much for preparation. Dawn comes. He hops back onto his skeletal mount, and he turns. Is everybody mounted at dawn?
No, I'd be melded, though. Should we hook a horse up to another horse to lead it so that once we do get to areas where we will be able to travel at faster speed, I can just ride the horse? Wait, no, it's still going to be sunlight. That's not going to work.
If we're always traveling during the day, it's not going to work.
It's just not going to work. Fine.
How are Lucan and Sundricker traveling to the forest? Just on foot?
Just, yeah, I'll just be melded into Sundricker. And on foot.
All right.
And Sundricker will walk.
And Sundricker will walk, yes.
So when Sundricker becomes huge, they don't gain any speed or anything?
Nope.
That's too bad.
So it's there for that reach.
It's all about that reach.
About that reach. So you're traveling through the forest. And it's an unfamiliar sight. It's almost like a fucking Disney movie in here. Like, there's butterflies, there's rays of sunlight coming down through the trees, and
Well, we've traveled through this forest before, though, haven't we?
Yeah, just not during the day.
Not during the day.
I suppose not during the day.
Yeah, like, it's almost sickening how lively it is.
And actually, Shara hasn't traveled through this forest before.
Like at all. So as you get closer to your destination, Seldig does drop back from the lead a bit to speak with, chooses to speak with Shara. Seldig says,
I understand you have no experience with this cottage.
That is correct. I came a part of this crew after the cottage. Directly after the cottage, in fact.
Directly after. That tells the story itself, almost.
Yes, my understanding is it's quite dangerous.
He increases the volume of his voice.
As you are all much more familiar with the cottage than Shara and I charge the three of you to explore it. I will go and interact with some of my fey contacts. We will meet back at the cottage in 2 days' time.
Am I to go with you then, my lord?
I'll leave that decision to you.
I mean, if he's got something to do, I'm gonna let him go. Well, I believe I will stay here with these guys then. I assume that you are more than capable of taking care of yourself.
More than.
And he turns the mounts off in a different direction. There's a small game path that's just offshooting from the one that you're on.
Continue on, and about 500 yards, the destination is ahead.
And then he gallops off.
Is he taking all the horses or just his?
Just his.
Okay.
Seldig rides off. He's got some fey contacts he's going to check in with. You have been tasked to go back to the cottage.
All right. I guess we head to the cottage then.
Who leads the way?
Arius.
What time of day is it?
Yeah, Arius.
How long did we travel before we got here?
You're probably around 3 p.m. The middle of the afternoon.
Well, he did not specifically say when to go in. We could wait till evening, or I guess once we're in the house, Lucan could rematerialize.
Yes, once in the house, it should be fine.
Although, I assume the house is quite dangerous from what you have told me?
In the extreme.
So do we wait till dawn, or do we just go in?
Till dusk.
Dusk. That's what I meant.
The undead's dawn.
Dawn of the undead. Nah, fuck it. I'd just go in.
I don't think he wants us to wait that long.
Yeah, let's just fucking go in. I can squeeze through the door.
So Arius leading the group, continue down the trail.
Yes, and Arius definitely tries to lead you guys astray because he has no sense of direction.
Tries to lead us astray?
Tries to lead you astray because he doesn't have a sense of direction? Or because of a totally different reason?
Ted tries to lead you guys astray. Arius doesn't know what he's doing. He thinks he's going the right way.
Well, it is literally just a couple of hundred yards ahead, so it's almost impossible to miss.
Oh, no.
No, I didn't ask for that.
I threw it out there. You said almost impossible.
I didn't ask for that.
How about like a survival check to make sure we're going the right way?
With a now one.
No. There is a trail at your feet.
We go the opposite direction.
Arius, you know what? If you want to RP...
That's not the cottage we're looking for. I think it was back that way.
See if you can convince the rest of the party. Go nuts, man. He's wrong. We're going to turn around. You don't do that.
No. We follow the path that we were told.
Fine.
Like you start to wander off the path.
The dice tell a story, Swanee. The dice tell a story.
Yeah, so you try to wander off the path, and Cher's just like, no, the path, Arius. The path.
Oh. Okay.
Sundrinker wraps a long tendril around you and gently redirects you toward the path.
Am I still leading the group? Or does somebody else take front? Nope, still leading the group. Okay.
All right, still you then.
Shiro will move up front and be like, well, you must be quite afraid of this cottage if you won't even go to it.
Fuck you. I don't know how to respond to that. I did lose two close friends there.
Let's start it on fire again.
one of our best companions unfortunately died there.
And so did Gerdruck.
Yeah.
You have a competent rogue in the party. Once.
Char probably would like that. You want to go see where Gerdruck died? Again? I don't know how that works. Again? The second time? The final death. No, he's still technically alive in our brick. Huh. Yeah, never mind. Moving on.
Alright, when we get to the door, I will check it for traps.
Oh, we're not even at the door yet, dude.
Oh, okay. Are we at the door?
No, there's been a lot of discussion about the thing.
About the path.
About the path. About the natural one. As you close the distance and the cottage bears into view between the trunks of trees through the axe and wood, it's almost as though nothing's changed. For those of you who've been here before, it's almost like the fire never happened. But other things about the cottage and its surroundings have changed.
There's a brick missing?
Lawn. If you look closely, there is in fact a missing brick. No, there's not. No missing bricks. The lawn is totally unkempt. It's there, whole, as it was when you first arrived. You're standing outside the low stone fence, looking through the tangle of the lawn. I want a perception check from everyone.
Perception?
Jesus Christ, can we stop tonight? Roll a 2.
Kix sees this.
No way, I got it. That's not good. It's gonna kill us now.
Kix sees this. As you're looking toward the cottage in what I can imagine would be semblance of disbelief, you notice that in the shadows of the eaves of the cottage, there are unearthly vines. They almost look like shadowy tentacles that twist among the more mundane plants around the base of the cottage. As you notice that, you look through just the lawn, and there are also very faint, shadowy tentacles that twist in through the plants in the front yard. Give me an occultism check, Kix.
Ooh, there's a button for it. Oh. What am I looking at? I might re-roll it.
You're looking at shadowy tentacles that are twisting among the more mundane plants throughout the lawn.
So I am.
You're not sure where the shadowy tendrils come from or what they will do. They might be dangerous. You're not sure.
Alright. I tell people that there's tendrils.
As Kix tells us and I look, do I see them?
You do. Kix uses the single action point out.
Okay. I avoid them as I head toward the door.
You find that there's not really a easy way to do that. But you can give me a religion check if you want. Once they've been seen. Anyone, once they've been pointed out, can take a religion or an occultism check on the shadowy tendrils. Mixed in with the common fauna of the forest.
Nope. Not me.
Why is perdition... Earl a nat 20?
Perdition got a nat 20?
On perdition?
When it came over, it
How
didn't,
does he explain it to us?
Perdition knows exactly what's going on, but she just can't say a damn thing about it.
She just starts neighing at us.
So it'd be a 32.
For Shara?
Yeah, for Shara.
So Shara, with a 32, you recognize, and actually this makes a lot of sense coming from you, your family's history and their tie to Zonkuthan. You recognize some of these vines as associated with predatory plant-like creatures that are native to the Shadow Plane. In the Shadow Plane, everything's a reflection of the Material Plane. But this almost seems as though some of the tendrils of the common plants that are here are mixing with the Shadow Plane. But the vines themselves, the growths, they are not dangerous on their own. They're more indicative of this place's connection to the Shadow Plane.
These tendrils are related to the Shadow Plane. I do believe this cottage has spent some time there, I would assume.
Interesting.
However, it doesn't appear that they are hostile themselves.
I lash out a vine and kind of smack the plants. Anything happen?
They swish and they swoosh.
Alright. Now I head towards that front door.
So there are technically two doors to the cottage. There is the side door, where the kitchen was, you recall, most vividly. And then there's the front door, just on the porch. Which approach do you choose?
I'm going towards the front door.
Front door. The front door is open a tad. Just a little bit.
I search for traps.
Go on and give me a perception check.
Not great. 21.
21. There are no traps here. The door's just cracked open.
From a distance, I lash out and smack the door, like trying to open it further.
And it bangs open and then slowly begins to come back and then stops halfway open with a clear view into the entry, the living room of the cottage.
The infamous living room.
The infamous living room.
I move a step closer, and I smack the door again. Anything?
Nope.
All right. I try and squeeze my way through the door.
You're able to. Going through the tighter space, it's more like just moving through difficult terrain. Takes a little bit of extra movement.
Look at the fireplace. Does it attack me?
As you walk into the room, a thick layer of dust covers the room, like a gray snow. And a canopy of cobwebs hangs from the rafters. Strange footprints are visible here and there on the floor. Most of the furniture has been removed from the room or broken into kindling, but the fireplace is cold. An ebony writing desk, conspicuously absent of writing implements or parchment, stands in one corner. And yes, the fireplace is cold and has all of its bricks.
I move over far away from the fireplace and I smack it with a tendril. Does it do anything?
The fireplace does nothing. What is everyone else doing as Sundrinker is going in and smack testing everything?
Sure, I'll move up to the porch, dismount from Perdition, and seeing that the house does not try to immediately eat Sundrinker, we'll move inside.
Living room's pretty stark. No rug in here. Nothing. Just this ebony desk, cold fireplace, and just bits of broken furniture.
Shara looks around. So this is where he died, huh? Shame, I would have liked to have killed him myself.
I unmeld. Lucan pops out. I assume it's shady enough in here for that, right?
It is. In fact, the thick layer of dust that I was describing that covers everything is caking the windows.
The other two coming in, or?
I came in.
Oh, you came in, just didn't say anything. Okay, got it.
Oh, sorry.
Yes, this is where he died, where Gerdrug was destroyed. Well, he's somewhat destroyed. The demon inside of... Well, is it a demon or a devil, Kix? The devil. The devil inside of Kix seemed to bind his soul to a brick.
Hey.
As you know.
Gerdrug's just napping in a brick, it's fine.
Well, doesn't look that dangerous.
Oh, yes, that's what you think now. Just wait till it starts to eat you. I don't even want to go downstairs. What are we supposed to be looking for here?
My understanding is the fact that it's back to its old condition, and we're supposed to figure out why.
Yes.
And that there was, I believe, some movement, something going on here.
I don't know why we haven't burned this down yet. We can try it again. We have fireballs now.
Yes. Agreed.
Is it wet outside again, Tyler?
Outside?
Yeah, the last time you said we couldn't get it because it was wet outside.
No, it's not wet outside. No.
All right, we can burn this place down. Let's go.
Yeah.
If I peek downstairs, does it look like a throat?
Does it look like a throat?
You actually, despite the fact that you see this place in your dreams sometimes, you know its layout pretty well,
Don't see the basement stairs. You don't even see the door into the basement. Give me a perception check.
How about a 1?
Oh. Yeah, the door's just gone. You're standing right in front of where the door to the basement was. It's gone.
What is it, just a wall?
Yeah, it's just the wall now.
I knock on it.
Thud, thud.
Does it sound hollow? Or does it sound... I'm checking for the studs.
Sounds like a wall.
All right.
Detect magic.
Yes. Northwest corner. Necromancy.
I fucking make my way over there carefully to investigate, I guess.
No sounds so hurt about it.
I am not excited about this.
You're not excited about coming back to this place?
No.
I've been trying to get just like expressions of what you guys think about coming back here.
I've told you I'm going to burn it down several times.
Yeah, I feel as though we've expressed ourselves and how we're acting.
So you come over and find that the ebony table is magic. You take a closer look at the table. There's a pool of dried blood. On the top of the desk, there's nothing here. No drawers that you can open that you can see. No tabletops. Nothing on the desk except for a kitchen knife. That also has dried blood on it.
How recently dried blood?
Give me a medicine check.
What a vampire check.
Lick it!
Just give it a little...
How fresh is this blood?
Yeah, 21.
It's been over a month at least.
Okay, so not super fresh.
Well, do we want to spend 10 minutes identifying this...
Magic?
Magic?
I took quick identification. I don't need 10 minutes anymore.
Well, then fucking do it.
Yeah, do it. What are you waiting
for? I do it.
I'm sure what you're waiting for, yeah.
Takes 3 actions.
Give me...
Okay...
Whatever your primary cast, the primal or nature, right?
Nature is my primary, but it's not.
I suppose
one of
you can use any
at.
Of the four.
I'll say you can use any of them.
I don't really care. Yeah,
I make an arcane. Oh,
Jesus! What the hell?
That was really dumb. I'm gonna use one of those hero points you gave me.
Are you? Nice. All right.
That's not how dice actually work. They can't be sitting on a number and then just like magically pop to a new number.
I get 23.
A 23. It's a magical lock of some kind.
The table is a magical lock?
But the magic has, like, the same sort of properties that, like, the lock spell would have. Similar properties. Not quite exactly the same, but it's close. First thing being that it's a necromancy instead of abjuration. That's all you get.
I relay this information.
It must be to unlock the basement.
I don't know how to use it.
I mean, we all know there was a door here. Someone just break it open.
Ugh, fine.
So wait, you're just going to ignore the table and just go straight for busting walls down? Just double check in here.
Well, I don't know. I lift the table, like, or I feel around on the table. Is there a switch? I try and lift the table. I try and move the table.
So you find that as you're feeling around on the table, that there is, in fact, a drawer, one drawer, but it doesn't have a knob or any handles or anything that you can grab to pull open.
There's a drawer that I can't open.
It's a drawer with no knob for you to pull open.
Well, I got magic.
And you have the strength of a bush.
I also have the strength of a bush.
Who puts a magical lock on a cupboard? You can just smash it open. I mean, on a drawer.
Yeah, I see right. If I can... I have Sundra to see if they can, like, smash through the wood a little bit to get into this drawer.
I mean, we could possibly break the thing inside it.
Go ahead and give me athletics for a force open here.
Okay.
Good thing that rogue's dead.
Yeah, how about a 35?
Okay. Sundrinker smashes the table, and Lucan can detect that magical whatever it was dissipates when the table is smashed. In the remains of the ebony table are some writing implements, some scraps of paper, and a few scrolls. Except for
One of the scrolls is destroyed. And I will now randomly determine which of the scrolls it was. While I'm figuring that out, this, however, was not destroyed. In what you assume to be the drawer that was magically sealed is a lot of writing implements and blank sheets of paper, but there is a piece of paper with just this immaculate charcoal drawing on it. It's of some manor deep in the woods, double doors on the front, two spiraling or winding staircases leading to a second story balcony on the outside of the manor. It almost is pyramidal in shape, except for with the top cut off. There are two distinct iron spires at the plinth of the roof of the house.
That shadow does not match that house whatsoever.
Don't match the house. I think that's intentional.
You notice that, and so I need to take a hero point for that. The shadows that are being splayed out onto the yard in front of the manor, cast by the moon behind the manor, are not in the shape of a house. They're shadowy tendrils.
They look more like tentacles.
Shadowy tendrils that stretch out from the manor itself.
Yep, that sounds about right.
David, since you made the decision to force open the drawer, go ahead and roll a die. Odd is the first scroll I see here, and even is the second.
I get a 3.
Okay. Scroll of Banishment has been destroyed.
Okay.
You get a scroll of spell immunity instead.
Okay. I don't know what that does. Also, I take this charcoal drawing.
Put it in your loot.
I put the charcoal drawing in my loot as well.
Okay. Among the remains of the destroyed ebony desk is, and I'm just going to share with you the name of this thing. It's the second time I've gotten to use this word in one adventure. The malodorous lump of flesh in the shape of a key.
Oh, that's fun.
A malodorous lump of flesh in the shape of a key.
Shove it in the wall.
When I pick up these scrolls, the one scroll that's intact and the one that's destroyed, am I able to read the one that's destroyed to know what it is or what it was?
Just to know what it was before it was destroyed? Sure, there's nothing salvageable off of it. It was a scroll of banishment.
Right. I pull it up and I look at it. Huh. This one is a scroll of banishment. And I kind of like look at Kix, but almost like I'm peering beyond your eyes. Lucky you, that's the one that was destroyed.
Whoa.
Kix's face disappears for a moment, and a evil smirk creeps across Kix's face, and this tendril of black smoke wisps out from the corner of the mouth, and then Kix snaps back in.
Ooh. That got him all riled up.
Yeah.
I take the malodorous fucking lump of fucking flesh that's a fucking key, and I put it against the door, where the door should be. Smack. It makes a wet flopping sound.
A very familiar sound, right, David?
Yeah, exactly. Hey, I would just like you to know, my lump of flesh is never malodorous.
That's gotta be a lie. Nobody's lump of flesh is never malodorous.
I have excellent hygiene. That's true. I didn't have hot water for a week and a half. It was getting a little malodorous.
See, there are circumstances. Circumstances.
Are we talking about penises right now?
Yeah.
Sorry, we're talking about haven't dicks. Washed my junk in a day or two. I've been busy.
I haven't had hot water, and it doesn't like cold.
Exactly. No, we are not taking a cold shower.
Just as you're taking that malodorous lump of flesh key and pressing it up against the wall, it does make just kind of a wet, slurpy sound. In that moment, four shades emerge from the walls.
Four shades?
Shades. Shadows.
Gray? Or is that fish? Wait a minute.
Shadow creatures. They emerge from the walls.
I do not like them.
Damn, I am.
From the wreckage of the ebony desk. And from the door that Kix is trying to break down. The shadows all emerge. You know what happens when you fight shadows.
They can only do negative damage.
They can't do dick to you.
Oh, that's okay. Right. Stupid-ass fucking shadows.
Instead of going into initiative, because you've fought this exact creature in the past, instead of going into initiative, I give you the opportunity to tell me what you want to do with these creatures, whether you completely destroy them, or if you just kind of smack them a few times and then, you know...
I destroy them all.
They disappear?
I mean, once they realize they can't hurt us, do they stick around?
Once they realize they can't hurt you, it would probably take one of them dying before, or one of them being destroyed before the rest fled, but that would be what they want, or what they would do, I should say. Once one goes, the rest will flee.
Well, there we go. We have our answer.
I can't do any damage to you. They can't do anything. And I've done this before. You know, go through the process of entering combat, even though they can't do shit to you. If you want to, I can do that. But...
I share a space with one of them. Ooh, if you put yourself on him, you look like you got a cool background now.
Is it because I made your guys' tokens transparent? It is.
Yes. Excellent. Excellent. Excellent, Spencer.
Swanee?
Come on.
You're right there.
You just gotta slide over a little bit.
There you go.
Then as the shadows emerge from the walls and from the corners, the shadowy places of the living room, and lunge out to attack the party, it doesn't take them more than a few good swipes and they realize they can hit you, they can make attacks at you, but they can't actually damage you. And they take a moment where they even gang up on kicks a bit because they just expect to be able to damage kicks, but they can't. And after Arius cleaves one of them in twain, the other three flee.
Yep. That was fun.
We showed those guys.
Does the door open?
The door does not open. But.
There's no door.
Well.
To open.
In a poof of purple and yellow smoke. A blue-skinned creature pops into existence right next to Kix.
Wow! Whoa, that thing looks fucking dope. I want to say hi to him.
Oh, sick. That is dope.
This guy looks like he wants to make a deal.
Let's give me all the demons!
That guy absolutely wants to make a deal. Yes.
He's a blue-skinned, almost like a devil of some kind. You can see there's six horns coming out of his head. He's got just this wicked maw of teeth, but he's wearing just flamboyantly bright colors on his tunic and his skirt. He's got a long tail. What are the name of the legs when they're backwards like that? There's a specific name for it.
Horse legs.
Yeah, like...
Anyways, I feel like I'm getting deja vu. I've done this in the past. The tail is spiked. And as it comes into existence, it kind of looks Kix up and down immediately. And just begins going, "Ah, you look alive, though!" And he's searching around. "You're not dead?"
"Not dead."
"Hold on, let me..." And he puts his ear up to your chest. "Yeah, your heart's still beating."
I don't like that.
"Oh, sorry. It's just that you came into my house!" So I kind of assumed that your personal space requirements were minimal.
"How recently have you acquired this house?"
"Me? It's pretty new to me."
"I feel like we're the ones that cleared out the previous occupants. So technically we're your landlords."
Previous occupants? "Wait, you stumbled upon this place in the past? This beautiful, gorgeous place?" And he holds his arms out wide and he looks all around. And then he begins to spin in place in the living room. And as he does, you get flashes of the room. Except for it's gleaming with gold and crystal adornments and lavish rugs and brightly painted walls, golden ornamentation all over the living room, and just the fanciest furniture. And he just goes, "Why would you ever leave a place like this?" And then it goes away for you in your vision. Back to this dingy thing. "Well, despite your lack of personal space, I'd welcome you into my new home. Please come to my throne room." And he turns and begins to walk back.
I follow him.
Yeah, I'm intrigued. Whoa, where'd he go?
Walks back into this room over here.
Of that room.
He throws open the door.
The kitchen.
And to you, to your eyes, he begins to climb over piles of broken chairs and tables, right back up to where, like, a table has been set up on end. And he sits down on this broken chair seat that's amongst the rubble and leans back against the table that's on its side. And again, you see a flash. And in that flash, there's this lavish throne on top of piles of gold that he climbs up to get atop the throne.
Well, welcome to my domain. If you didn't want it the first time, I don't think you're going to want it the second time, so I'm just going to consider you visitors at this point. My name's Ishula. What are your names?
Hello, Ishula. My name is Lucan Hollow. Do you already know the devil inside my friend Kix? Am I understanding that correctly?
Sorry? No. He leans in real close and squints. I just thought he was the only living one among you. My shadow friends generally chase off the living beings, and if there's, you know, the quick and the dead traveling together in a place like Geb, well, you get the quick to go away or die, and the dead go with them.
Yep, not following that.
You're really just trying to scare you away.
You're trying to scare me away?
All of you. It's my home, filled with gold and lavish jewels.
Filled with gold and lavish? No, I don't care about loot, never mind.
Is it actually filled with gold and lavish jewels?
Can I figure out if that's like the Shadow Plane version is like filled with gold and lavish jewels or something?
Right,
because we only see it when he like spins.
Do your eyes deceive you?
I don't have eyes.
True.
I have glowing red orbs.
Well, what have you come here for? To visit a second time? I mean, it's not a museum. Though if you want to visit, we could, you know, connect to my people, could talk to your people, and we could correspond, and you can visit, and I can visit, and... Wait, did you barge into my home to become friends? Why do I want to be friends with you?
Well, to be fair, we did not know you were here. You forgot to put the sign out front saying that it was occupied.
Or even close the door.
Is that a custom here?
Yes, you know, like a street number, something.
The name on the mailbox?
Yes, exactly.
Oh. No? I mean, there wasn't anything like that here when I got here. Door was open. The deed was here. On a table. In the front room. You should have seen it. Legally signed over to whoever walks in first and signs the name on the line. I read over it. Over and 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 over again. And there's no catches. It's mine now. Legally.
What did this guy say his name was?
Ishula.
I was told there was a basement here last time. Is there stairs down?
Basement down?
He looks at you.
Why would you want to go down there right away? Let me show you the rest of the place.
And he hops up off of the throne and he squeezes through you to go beyond the room.
Come this way, this way, this way.
Walks around where the door to the basement is. You know it is. He walks into the kitchen. The kitchen is dingy. There's nothing here. There was not really much here before. It's just nothing here now.
Can we, like, make a perception check against, an illusion or something? Or is this just, like, we're just not, it's not there to us?
Go ahead and give me a perception check in this room.
I'm coming. Or in the room that we were in.
28.
The one where he's in right now.
The kitchen.
The kitchen.
The kitchen that is totally empty and devoid of stuff.
As he walks in, he turns around and he looks at you, spreads his arms wide, and you can see, again, a lavish kitchen. There's a chandelier hanging from the kitchen ceiling for some reason, just for a moment, but high-end equipment, stoves, ovens, standing, you know, furnaces, and any sort of cooking implement you could imagine in this, magical or otherwise, all over the kitchen.
So you tell me you do not see all the broken boxes and wood and everything on the floor?
Broken boxes and wood? No? Is that what you see? I thought my tastes were expensive.
This house is a pigsty.
Well, I mean...
Then that's probably being nice to the pigs.
I'm not the greatest housekeeper. The shadows can't interact with anything physical. I'm not going to lift a finger to do anything. It looks great as it is anyways. Who are you? You still haven't told me your names.
Can I make a knowledge check on this guy?
Yeah.
Like what race he is or anything?
Absolutely.
Maybe. What do you want? I probably can't.
What do you want to make? No. I've for got this religion. One,
that's it.
You just basically have religion. I think that might actually work here. Let me verify. Yeah, religion.
Not great. 21.
So you don't know anything specific about this particular div, obviously, or about this particular creature. But the one thing you can tell is that it's a div. Pyraka div, to be precise. You don't really know anything about Pyraka divs, except for that they hate the color red for some reason. That's all you know.
I have a lot of red on me.
Yeah, there's a lot of red going around.
Like, just an offhanded thing that you remember for some reason.
Oh, okay.
You don't even remember where they're, like, what plane they're from.
Well, Kix, do you know anything about these things?
I can sure try to figure it out. Religion?
Religion.
No, I know nothing of these things. I guess I'm trained. Fuck no. 24.
24 is not any better, unfortunately.
Nobody knows. I'd just ask him straight up. What plane of existence do you find yourself on?
Existence? What a deep question. Huh. Existence.
Not really. Just plane of existence. We're on the material plane. What plane are you on?
I thought you were being metaphysical for a second. No, we're on the material plane.
You're also on the material plane.
Yeah, I moved here like 3 months ago. I mean, I didn't find this place 3 months ago. I only moved in like 2 weeks ago, but I decided to give it a shot. I figured if any place was going to be welcoming to someone like me, and he waves his hand up and down his form. Though he can change his shape. And he pops back and forth between a humanoid shape, an elven shape, and a dwarven shape, all with that same blue skin. But then he goes back to his natural form and says, but I just like it, like me. Geb seemed like a good enough place. Well, sorry. Suitable enough place.
So about that basement.
Ah, the basement. The basement, the basement, the basement. Before we go any further, this is my home. I'm just gonna let you wander around in it. I gave you the top left tour. Tell me a bit about yourselves. Who are you? Why are you here?
And why are we here? Indeed. There sure are some strange things happening in the place where Swanee's character died and the place where Swanee's character died. Gosh, I sure hope Swanee's character doesn't die. Find out next time as we continue, Bloodlords. And until then, may you have many great adventures of your own.
It's your turn.